Let's open differently. Let's open with a prayer for the storms that ripped through the Midwest and into Kentucky. Father, we just come before you, not with many words, but with humble hearts, seeking that you would console the families that have lost people, lost loved ones, families that may still be stuck in awkward situations, families that had loved ones injured. Father, we just we don't understand these things, and Father, I will never ask why, because you've ordained everything and orchestrated everything worldwide, and bad things happen, and we just come before you and say, please have your mercy on these families and give them some sort of hope and strength in the face of extreme adversity. And we give you thanks and we give you praise in Yeshua's name. Amen. Now, this morning, for whatever reason, we got a bunch of texts came through saying that a lot of people were going to be out today, and various reasons, and that's not important, but I told my wife, I said, go back and get on that chain and tell them, no problem, we'll expect to see you all on Facebook then. So, hi everybody. It was actually a shameless plug and an attempt to boost our viewership from 2 to maybe like 4 people on Facebook each day. So, anyway, last week we discussed, are you aware of the times? And I hope we all concluded that yes, we are aware of the times. I hope there's nobody going like, no, I'm not really, I'm not really sure. This worldwide consortium that's going on in every country on earth just about should at least make us aware of the times. Are we all there, hopefully? Okay. Today we're going to talk about being awake, because that's why I had this slide put up there. I sent that out yesterday, I think, to some of the men of House of Scripture. I said, you know what, we're going to put it up today. And that slide may sound a little condescending to some. They may say, what do you mean there's no time to wake up the sheep? It is what it is. It's time to wake up the lions. See, we're supposed to be warriors. We're not, you know, we may start out as sheep, but when you're in the walk for a while and you have a relationship built with your Creator, you become a warrior. David started out as a shepherd of sheep. Later, he had to shepherd people, and he had to be a warrior in order to do that. And we need to rise up into becoming warriors. So today's message is really, are you awake? Because there's some things that are required of you if you're aware and then you're awake. So I couldn't think of a great analogy, so bear with me on this one, because I actually heard something to this effect from what I believe was a comedian. But he basically said he was laying in bed one night, sound asleep, and his wife shook him and woke him up. Didn't you hear that? There's a burglar in the house. And he looked at her and he says, the AR is loaded. Let me go back to sleep. Basically saying, you go handle it. See, once you're awake and you're aware of things, you need to be awake because you need to take action. We need to take action. And, you know, too often we just put it off on everybody. Oh, they'll handle that. What if God's calling you to handle it? What if God's trying to wake you up to handle what he's called you to do? He's called me to do something. And it's not what he's called Paul to do. It's not what he's called James or John to do or Nathan. It's what he called Tom to do. And everybody's in that situation. Before we dive into today's message, are you awake? I want to do what I said I was going to do last week. We're going to talk about some things that are going on in the world. And I know most of you kind of are up on things, but maybe you haven't heard of a few of these things that I'm going to share with you today. And I'm really, each week, I'm going to try to pick things that are really relevant to why we need to be awake, why we need to be aware, why we need to be on our face in prayer. I'm not just bringing these up for comic effect or for, you know, a little amusement, although it tends to do that at times, unfortunately. But Omicron, anybody know when that was first announced? What, it was like 3 weeks ago? It's not that long. 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks ago. Nobody ever even heard of it. All of a sudden, the first case was found in South Africa, and they had the warnings out. So if the first case was in South Africa, it's logical we would go to South African doctors. They've had 4 weeks of this, so they should know what's going on, right? So the South African doctor said that they've analyzed this strain, and the good news is it's really not bad at all. No one's died from it anywhere on earth, and it they recover fairly quickly, and the symptoms are far less than the previous two strains, which was whatever the original one and then the Delta strain. So that's good news, isn't it? Even WHO, the World Health Organization, admitted no one's died from this. So it's really not anything we should be fearing unless you watch ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CBD, CBDSSSSS. But there, a great miracle has happened here, and I need to make you aware of it because you're all aware of Omicron. But this is a great miracle, almost as great as the miracle of the oil. Pfizer already has an Omicron vaccine. In just weeks, aren't we grateful? Aren't we grateful that the pharmaceutical companies are so on top of things that in 3 weeks they can do what previously took 10 to 20 years? That's where we are today. Pfizer has already got a labeled vaccine. And guess what? They got tens of thousands already ready to go. So that's where we're at. One political news, and this is just a fast one. I don't like to get strictly political. The latest poll of Democrats only says 37% will back Biden for a second term. Now, why that is shocking is because if Charlie Manson was the man, they would back him again for a second term. It's almost impossible to get them to not support their... That's the unification of that mindset. And I'm not trying to be... Yes, I am. I'm sorry. this is another one that I just found out. Australia has already announced that they're planning to go full digital currency. No more cash. They are going to try to put an end to all cryptocurrency and get rid of all hand currency. They're going fully digital in order to control the people, sheeple, whatever you want to call them. The European Union is debating, and this has already been discussed, and it's on video in their meetings, and it's readily available, so they're not trying to hide this. I'm not coming up with stuff you can't find out there. The European Union is debating bringing back Nazi medical policies with mandatory medical procedures, of course, as the government deems needed. But there's one problem. All of the European Union is abiding by the Nuremberg Code. So they've already discussed the elimination of the Nuremberg Code in order to move forward with their agenda. That's truth. It's out there, easy for you to find. We already told you last week Germany and Austria are among the latest to require mandatory vaccines. Greece is now fining the unvaxxed a monthly fee. And many other countries are pushing forward with full all-out vaccines. Italy is now stripping freedoms from all unvaccinated people, especially coming up over the next few weeks over the holidays. Dr. Jancy Chun-Lindsay explained to the CDC the evidence that the vaccine causes fertility issues, heart inflammation, blood clots, and immune evasions, to which no one has been able to discredit her report. She warned, and I quote, "We could potentially be sterilizing an entire generation." This is what's going on in the world today. This one is shocking. As you all know, cruises are back, right? You've seen the ads in all your browsers. Cruises are back. And everybody knows it's safe now because the cruise ships have made it mandatory. All workers and all guests are vaccinated. So nothing could possibly go wrong. Norwegian Breakaway, sailing out of New Orleans on November 28th, had an outbreak of COVID on board, and I am so surprised. This is another little, just tiny tidbit. World Bank has admitted that Pfizer will only distribute its vaccines in countries that have an agreement in place that state they cannot be sued. I wonder what that's all about. Because it's safe and effective, right? And our final news flash, German chemist Dr. Andreas Nowak was found dead after exposing the presence of graphene hydroxide in the COVID vaccines. Now, he's not the only one to do it, but his credentials are way up there. And his wife said The morning he gave it a video interview. He gave that and it went out into the internet world. That afternoon he had a heart attack and 3 days later he was dead. Fairly young guy, in good health, gone that quickly. What is graphene hydroxide? I had to ask the question, and I'm not going to give you the long answer. I'm going to give you the very short answer. You can go look it up for yourselves. They are microscopic metal nanoparticles that have twofold purposes, maybe more, but two that I could find. One is they act like mini razor blades, carving the insides of your veins and your organs, tiny little bit at a time, causing blood to clot where it carves. And the second is they are understood to be nanoparticles that can cause some sort of transmission, and all that is not proven that I know of, and I don't know the doctors who are onto that, but it's enough to make me suspect of the government in there. The bottom line is those little mini razor blades don't kill anybody overnight. It's over a long period of time. It's flooding through your body, and according to most doctors, there's no way to get rid of them. So with that said, I want to read something to you from the scriptures. Luke 21:26 says, men's hearts will fail because of fear of what is coming on the earth. So we've all known that scripture. We've all read it many times. I want to suggest to you that perhaps this scripture has a little more in-depth meaning than we've looked at before. For me, that's the case. I think it's a little more literal. And I think it ties in with today's message very clearly. Maybe it's stated, or it could be rendered, because men have caved into fear, their hearts will fail. Because we fear everything other than God, we allow things to happen to our bodies, and we do things to our bodies that God clearly tells us not to, and it's usually fear-driven, and we're going to get to that in a little bit. Could it be that our hearts are literally failing? I've always thought, oh my gosh, the aliens are going to come back, and we're going to be so terrified, our hearts are going to fail. And it's possible that's what it means, but could it have more depth? Do we have other scriptures that we've talked about have multiple fulfillments of prophecy? It could be both. Our hearts may literally be failing because we fail to trust in the Lord our God. There was a song that was sung by our very own world famous B.J. Harris in the house today. Also sung by Elena Watson, that is called Awake, O Israel. Now, I love that song, and I'm going to just speak the first few words because you'd clear out if I tried to sing it. It says, awake, O Israel, put off your slumber, and the truth will set you free. For out of Zion comes thy deliverer in the year of Jubilee. See, that song is about us. It's about us. It's about our Jewish brothers and sisters. It's about all those who will end up being a part of the family of Israel. Because when the Messiah comes back, there will be no more two houses. You realize that, right? When he comes back, we're all coming together. The Ezekiel 37 prophecy will be fulfilled in its entirety, and we will come together. So I was thinking the other day about all this, and, you know, if you're like me, you don't have to admit it, but I think about things that are going on in the world all the time. I mean, I do. I don't worry. I'm not in fear, but I'm constantly thinking about them, and I try to relate it to the scriptures. Because I do want to have an understanding of where we are. I do want to have an understanding if there's things that I can do to prepare better, if there's things I can share with you to help you prepare better. So I was thinking about this, and the thing that struck me is it's just how easy this has been for the whoever they are to push this on the whole world. It has not been hard at all. There's been, I mean, yeah, we see some of the protests, and the marches that they, you know, that they're marching against this. But by and large, that only started to happen when they started forcing them to lose their job. Early on, people were freely taking this vaccine and taking whatever the government has told us about it with almost no resistance whatsoever. And that was very concerning to me. And I've been thinking about it a lot, not just for the last couple of weeks. Somewhere around 50% of the United States is vaccinated right now. The rest of the world, it really depends where you go. There's certain places that are much lower. It's almost shocking. A lot of Muslim countries are actually much lower. But the vast majority of the advanced world where they actually have a structure, even the Muslim world where they have a structured and an economy, it's much higher. They're pushing this vaccine in a way that is causing somewhere around 80% average of the people are getting vaccinated. Israel is higher than that. Singapore is higher than that. A few other places. But it's, let's face it, it was pretty easy. They really, and here's the thing that has really bothered me. Because we can read the book, the end of the book, and we know what's coming. This is what's really bothered me. So few people have even taken the time to want to understand what this is. It's staggering. 7.5 billion on planet Earth, and probably half of them have already decided to take this shot. 90 to 99%, somewhere in there, don't even care. They don't want to know. Cornelia had somebody on Facebook that she knew back in our last church. Who cares what's in it? My doctor said take it, I'm taking it. You need to just go get the shot and join us. And I told somebody the other day, face to face, one of my business clients I deal with, I just said, you know, I'm not being condescending to anybody who's chosen to do it, but I just don't think you should tell me I have to do it. I made a decision. My decision is set in stone. But anyway, I want to move on because we got a lot to get to. The fact is, they have been highly successful, whoever they are. And let's face it, we none of us really know who they are. Somebody's pulling the strings. Our president is not running this country. I mean, look, hold on. I didn't mean to shock you all. I didn't mean to send you into fear and trembling. He's not running this country, you know, and I'm not trying to be mean. It's obvious. The rest of the world's laughing their head off. Cornelia gets news from Germany. We're the laughing stock on planet Earth right now. But neither is Germany. Neither is Austria. No, they're not running the country. Somebody is pulling the strings. I have no idea who. I just know it's not them. They're all kowtowing to one mantra, one directive, and that doesn't happen on planet Earth. Listen, we have, 157 countries or 180-some countries on Earth? Everybody's got their own autonomy and their own ideas and their own the ways that they think is the best way to govern. You don't get that many people all come together and make a decision. We'll all go this way. That just doesn't happen. Fact is, the success that they've had at getting everybody to do this is born out of what I call a microwave mentality, at least here in the United States. I don't have the experience around the world to know why they're doing it. Most likely, it's because they're a lot more severe over there in the way they rule and govern. But in the United States, let's focus here because this is where we are, right? We live here. The microwave mentality. I always thought it was just the we want it quick, you know, give me the fast food, you know, give me something fast, and that's part of it. But I realized this week it goes much deeper than that. We've gotten to the point where we don't want to take any responsibility for ourselves. We don't. We don't even want to take the time to learn. We don't want to take the time to find out if it's something we really ought to do. I mean, like at the very early days, we were all skeptical. We weren't sure, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, we're just hearing about this new disease. We don't know if, is it going to wipe out America? Well, it ended up not really doing that. The hospitals did that. But, you know, I'm going to say something one day that's going to get me off Facebook. I'm going to get my badge of honor. Just bear with me. But we've gotten to the point where we don't take responsibility anymore. And I'm going to give you a few examples of that because we've become a society that would prefer somebody else fix it for us or somebody else would just tell us what to do rather than determine from the Word of God, if you're a believer, which is where you should be going to, and determine through prayer and spending time with your Creator, what should you do? What would He have you to do? The Bible teaches us that we are supposed to change and adapt to God and His instructions and His lifestyle and how He wants us to live. It's not the other way around. But see, That does not fit into a microwave mentality. The microwave mentality is like, you know, I'll follow you, God, but could you just kind of work within my parameters? Would that be okay? And I assure you, every time you ask that, the answer is no. That's not the way he works. Messianics, Christians, even Jewish people are falling for these false promises that have been offered up in this so-called solution. When somebody asks, and this is a separate illustration, when somebody asks, why isn't there a cure for cancer? Do you know what they're really asking? They're saying, why isn't there something that I can take that will allow me to continue my cancer-producing lifestyle? We want chemo, radiation, a pill, anything that will allow me to keep eating horribly that's going to cause my body to want to produce cancer. You know, and I'm not going to get off on a tangent, but anybody who has studied it even a little bit knows that cancer feeds on sugar. Is there anybody that's not aware of that? So if you get cancer, the first thing you want to do is quit sugar. But how many people go take chemo, and when they're done and they get a little energy, they go straight to the ice cream shop for a double scoop? Yeah. See, this is not changing your lifestyle. This is saying, I want a quick fix. It's the microwave mentality. Is there something I can take that will allow me to continue my lifestyle? Does that sound a lot like Christianity? Christianity before you came to the knowledge that there was more to it than just a little prayer? Because that says, just say a prayer and everything is good. It's grace theology. Once you've said that little prayer, you're immediately and irrevocably saved by that prayer. The Old Testament is immediately discarded along with God's instructions. And three, in effect, even though they would never say this in these exact words, you can continue on your sinful lifestyle knowing that Jesus or Yeshua covered that for you. Now, the reason I know that this is not me guessing is because I listened to a pastor tell me that exact same thing right across from the table from me at lunch one day. Yeah. See, this is what we have run up against, and I'm not picking on the church. The Messianics do the same thing. Well, we don't really have to keep Shabbat holy. We're not Jewish for crying out loud, Tom. Pretty quiet in here, Jim. Baptist. It's relevant for our times today, and it's time the lions wake up.
That's right.
Good, you left that up. It doesn't go anywhere. I want that to be ingrained in you, because it's time for the lions to wake up. It's time to understand your battle call and what's going on around you. It's time to be aware, to awake, and we'll talk a little more next week about what we do next. When the Bible says we're to be alert and aware of the times so we can be prepared, is it not a good idea that we do that? The rest of the world, including most Christianity, Messianic, a lot of people, they're like, whatever, you know, we're fine here. You know, the Lord should be back any minute and we'll be, no. We got to be prepared. You know, I hope and pray I'm wrong on all that, and it doesn't really matter, because you know what? We have today, and today we need to be prepared and we need to be on guard. So where am I going with this? We all know all this. We all understand the grace theology and the perversion it's caused around the world. These pastors will have to answer for that. I will have to answer for the garbage I purveyed to people when I was in ignorance. Hopefully, my forgiveness goes back to everything. I think he said everything is washed away, right? I'm hoping and praying, because I was purveying that at one time. But the reality is, this microwave mentality is destroying us in the Messianic movement. Because if you want to have a relationship with God, it doesn't happen in a 30-second microwave moment. We can't have it quick and easy. It's not God's way. He desires us to be in an intimate relationship with him, and that requires that we put time and energy into that. And to illustrate it, I'm going to share a little bit out of an article that Tommy Wade shared with some of the men. And it was written by Chaim Ben-Torah. And it just fit in perfectly. He shared it on Thursday, and I'd already been writing these notes starting Monday, Tuesday. And I said, you know what? I asked for his permission. He said, absolutely. And it all ties into Matthew 23, 37, where Yeshua says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. You were not willing. See, this has to do with our will. Free will is something that we are given. We all know that. All Christianity knows that we have free will. But when it comes to this, the willingness, he uses a parallel of a hen bringing the chicks underneath the wings, which ties in with what we talked about in Psalm 91 just a few weeks back. Remember? We want to be under his protection, under his feathers, under his wings, his pinions. Do you think this generation knew anything about Psalm 91? I think they knew it very well. But they were not willing. See, this is the problem. Psalm 91 is a wonderful, wonderful promise for believers. And we all want to run to it and quote it when times get bad. But why do we keep running out from underneath his protection and want nothing to do with his protection until we need it? I, for one, would prefer to stay there. If we can go together, we can go tomorrow. We're good with that. To be with the Almighty and to be in his protection, that's where we want to be. We have free will. And you know, free will is a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing so that we can say we serve a God who only wants us to come to him willingly. He's not forcing anybody. But the curse is our flesh always gets in the way. It always causes us to make bad decisions. And we're always having to fight our flesh. We're fighting against things that have been shaped in us since birth. And I'm not saying your parents did this. It's just the circumstances of life, where you grew up. Yes, it's partly how your parents treated you, but how is your friendship with other people? How were you the one that was beat up all the time, or were you the bully beating other people up? It shapes you, and then you reach 40 or 50 years old, and you got 50 years of habits that we have to shed. And these habits are our flesh. And sometimes it makes it unwilling for us to want to submit to the Creator. But that's what he wants. How many times have you heard someone say, oh, I can't hear from God. His message is not clear. It's just, I've been praying and I can't get a clear answer. And according to Chaim, he says, so what they do is what they want to do, what their desire is. They want to interpret Scripture to fit what they want. And I tend to agree with it. He goes on to say, they do not want the responsibility of having to do the things that it takes to have an intimacy with God, which is the responsibility of hearing his voice, allowing him to teach us, and then following him. See, that's our responsibility. God, it's not that God's not willing to talk to you, but are we willing to take time? Are we willing to prioritize him? Are we willing? You know, we always talk about, oh, God's first, then my wife, then my kids, then my job. Well, that's like the old thing you learned in, you know, church 101, whatever. I learned it probably in 1984. And there's nothing wrong with that order, but do we live it? Is he really number one, or do you just say he's number one? Because I can promise you, he knows. He knows whether you've put him as a priority in your life. See, people want intimacy with Elohim, but they don't want to spend time with him. They want intimacy so that they get the answers they want. They want intimacy so that they can go to him when they need to. If we left that to our own doing, we would just be like, you know, once, twice, three times a year, genie in a bottle type relationships with our God. And that is not what he's seeking. He's seeking a daily walk. He wants us to return to the garden where Adam walked with him daily. That's what he's looking for, folks. Yeshua makes it very clear to us what his heart's desire is. He wanted to gather us. But if that doesn't match our desire, if it doesn't match what the way we think things should go, we quickly reject it, don't we? In essence, we are asking this. We want the freedom to walk with Elohim, but we want it on our terms. Now, if you want to know how that scenario works out, just go read the Old Testament. And you see how it worked for Israel. Not very good. Over and over again, they started doing things what was right in their own eyes, and it turned into a disaster. And you know what? I'm not trying to point the finger at anyone. I'm still working on this daily. This is something I have to work on all the time, making sure everything I do and everything I attempt to do falls into the will of God rather than my own will. My own fleshly desire is to have really nice things and to live a comfy, cushy life. But I can already promise you that's not his desire for my life. And he's making that clear. So the last thing I want to tie into this microwave mentality and how we desire to make things fit into our own molds is how we've interpreted things as it relates to the end times. Because we've all had a small amount of study of the end times because we're curious, because it sure does appear we're there. And I've said in the past, and I'm gonna give you this disclaimer. And don't raise your hands. But if anybody has already had the vaccine and you're in this room, this is not a condemnation. We're bringing it up because it's relevant for today. We're bringing it up because millions of people have died worldwide, probably a lot more than that. We're bringing it up because it's becoming something that is becoming bigger than what we thought it was going to be 6 months ago. I'm bringing it up because it's ultra important for the body of Messiah. But it's not condemnation. If you had it, don't raise your hand. If you've had it, you need to repent. Because it was a moment in time where you said, I'm going to trust them versus trusting God. You need to have repentance. If you need a prayer of repentance, I think, Jim, you still have the one from Michelle Stridham. You have it? You just ask us privately afterwards. We can forward it on to you. So this is not a condemnation. And number two, I've said this many times, get used to it. I'm going to say it a lot because I want to make sure nobody slips into the room that takes it the wrong way. There is nothing that God can't do. Nothing.
That's right.
The doctors say there is nothing you can do once that vaccine enters your bloodstream. And I say, yes, there is nothing we can do. But our God can do anything. So if it's something you did at a time where you weren't fully aware, this is not a condemnation. But we're going to talk about a few of these things because it's extremely important. If you've already had it, I'm going to tell you this. Do not get any boosters. Don't even think about it. So we're going to talk about this, and we're going to try to tie this to some scriptures. And I want you to keep in mind everything I already said about the microwave mentality as we go through this. Revelation 19:20. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet, who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. Can we go like, yay, yay, yay? This is the end. This is at the very end when all of the turmoil of Revelation ends. This is what's going to happen. He's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. But I don't want you to miss this. It said in there, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast. So it's crystal clear that these people receiving the mark, they're going to be deceived. And I got to apologize. Like a year ago, I stood up here and I said, it can't be the mark of the beast yet. It could be. Because we have to know who the beast is, and we have to willingly take it. But it says in Scripture, and I just saw this, I'm like, I'm such an idiot. How did I miss this? It says he deceives us. There's a deception. Perhaps that's why it's so successful. If he just came out, hi, I'm the beast. If you want to read about me, I'm in Revelation, and I need you all to line up and take this mark. Even atheists wouldn't do that. They're like, I don't know much about the book of the Bible, but I hear those people are doomed for eternity. No, thank you. They'd be running trying to find somebody who could explain what the whole thing about being saved. And you know what I'm saying. You know the thing, man. You know. So I want to take a look at this word deceived, because he is a master deceiver, right? He's empowered by the enemy, who is the master deceiver. The word is planeo in Greek, and it means this: to cause to stray, lead astray, to lead aside from the path of virtue, to sin, to fall away from truth, to be led into error and then sin. So these are different definitions that Greek experts have said over the years. Perhaps we've been waiting for some obvious creature, some hideous man that's going to, you know, appear on the scene as a world ruler, and he's going to give this edict, and once every, that's it. See, that's what we don't, that's not really deception, is it? Is it deception to go, hi, I'm the Antichrist, and I've got this mark that you need to take, or we're going to kill you? That's not deception. That's just flat out Nazi Germany. Perhaps we've been hoodwinked because we're looking in the wrong direction. As we see events unfold and I spend more time studying God's word, I'm starting to see things a little differently. And what I'm saying is, as I study God's word as it relates to these end times in the book of Revelation, perhaps the word of God is crystal clear, and it is a worldwide deception going on right now. When we talk to the few people we know overseas, which is family, they're being deceived in Germany just like we're being deceived here. It's a deception. Perhaps the Antichrist of the Bible does not have to be visible when this starts. What if he's already out there behind the scenes pulling part of that whole group of whatever, whoever, elites or whatever, and he's actually operating in his role, but we just don't see him yet?
That's right.
See, we have been trained mostly by ungodly and unbiblical instruction on what we're supposed to think about the scenarios of the end times. It's going to take years to get Left Behind series out of your mind, the 12 books. It was a brilliant fictional book series, but it's scripturally inept. So as we see events unfold, perhaps we need to look at things differently. And what I'm asking you to do is consider these things. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I know for certain what is. I'm asking you to consider looking at this from a different point of view. Perhaps the Antichrist of the Bible is already at work. Perhaps the forces of evil are already here in place. I mean, that's painfully obvious, isn't it? And they're carrying out a plan that marks or seals us because we failed to trust in God, and instead we decided to trust in government. We decided to trust in false science, yada, yada, yada. And really, regardless of whether this vaccine is the mark of the beast spoken of in Revelation or not, time will tell. But I can tell you this, it is some mark of some beast somewhere that hates humanity and is attempting to mass exterminate people worldwide. That's beyond argument. It's beyond argument for rational people. When the real guy from Revelation shows up, let's just say this is not it, okay? Let's just say we've overblown it. And like I've told you already, I'm not saying God's revealed to me what the mark of, don't take it there. But let's say this is not the mark of the beast. And this is not even in the book of Revelation. And then if this all carries out the way it's supposed to carry out, there's not going to be a whole lot of people left on planet Earth. Then the real Antichrist shows up and goes, what? There's nobody here. What am I doing? Wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, would it? But there's no requirement for the vaccine to buy and sell, Tom. Not here, not yet. But I want to take a look at another statistic that might make you think a little different about that. Why did most Americans get the vaccine? Fear. Fear of what? Fear of losing their job is probably one of the biggest ones. Ignorance, not knowing what the real facts were. But I want to suggest to you that fear of not losing your job and fear of not being able to participate in society in the way they used to be able to, and fear of not being able to go and do the things they use. It's a combination of things, but it all stems from fear. But I want to really hone in on this buying and selling, because that was one thing that I was really stuck on for most of my life. So I want to present something to you just to consider. Is that fair enough? Let's say fear of losing their job is a big one, because Jim, I think you even mentioned some people says, no, I'm not getting it, and then a month or two later. And it's amazing how this has all happened when there really is no official mandate in place, you know. But anyway, let's not get into that because we could be here all night. But fear of losing your job. What happens when you lose your job? There's no income coming in, right? No money. What happens when you don't have any money? For most Americans, can't buy and you can't sell.
No Amazon.
The average person has enough money to last them about 3 weeks. Smart people, the ones that are really, really well prepared, they have money to last for 2 or 3 months. It's the tiniest fraction of people that have money to last longer than that. Yeah. So if you lose your job, even though they don't technically tell you you can't buy and sell, you can't buy and sell if you don't have money. And if you run out of your money in 2 or 3 or 4 weeks or a month or two, there's no buying and selling unless you take that mark so you can get a job again. My brother-in-law is interviewing for jobs. He interviewed for one. I assume they like him. He's got all the qualities. He's a great worker. He said, we don't require it today, Mike, but we may have to fire you 6 months from now if it comes down. It's something we all have to face. So do we really have to have an edict saying you can't buy or sell without showing the marks? See, I always thought until there was something in here and something in here. Well, your actions are accepting something into your body that is not healthy. Your mind is convincing yourself that you need this in order to survive because God's not capable of providing for you. And really, listen, this is not condemnation to those who aren't believers, because why would they trust in God? They're not following him. That's not something we should be judging. We just judge inside the body. So whatever it actually comes down to, this may or may not already be it. But let's just be honest. The way it's heading, it's not going to be too long before you can't buy or sell, period, without the vaccine. And a lot of countries are already setting that in motion with passports, chips, and other various things. So if you can't work, you can't eat, you can't go anywhere in public, New York City, you're done in New York City if you don't have a vaccine. You better just pack up and move because you can't do anything up there. So what do we know? What do we know about this? First, we know that it does not prevent you from getting COVID. That's just absolute fact. Now, there's a lot more than this, but I'm going to share with you what we know, because we're going to do a summary and we're going to close. We know it doesn't prevent us from spreading COVID. In fact, the reality is the vast majority of spreading comes from vaccinated people who have 150 times more viral load than unvaccinated people. That's just fact. It's not that they're doing it on purpose. It's just, I mean, they are, but it's not that people who are vaccinated are 150 times higher load. Fact, we know it kills almost no one that is a normally healthy person. As far as percentage, it's so low, it's incomprehensible. The flu is more dangerous. Now, that's not talking about the protocols once you go to the hospital. We're not getting in there. We know that it has unclean things in it, like aborted fetus cells. Those are not supposed to go into our body. We're supposed to keep the temple clean. That's an Old and New Testament principle. We know it has a spike protein in it that causes coronary issues, among other things. Why would we want that? It doesn't maybe cause it. It's inevitable. And it may not kill somebody, but it's going to cause problems you don't need to have. We know that the graphene hydroxide cuts the inside of our veins, causes clotting, and we know that causes problems. Whether it kills you or not, time will tell. It is not good for us. We know that the government is pushing this on everyone in the USA, and we know that we'd be much further along if not for a few people who are patriots who stood up and have said no to mandates of doing anything. It's basically a violation of the Nuremberg Code to try to tell us we have to do, especially an experimental project that has no real testing ever been done. We know that the elites headed up by someone somewhere doing something in a place we don't know about. We know that they're doing this all over the world. It's worldwide. We just talked about that. We know that hundreds of thousands have died in the USA alone, and those are statistics I chose that could be tracked right to government websites. I could be going what I think it probably is based on Harvard's analysis of the VAERS system, but I just decided let's just go with what we know is true from the people who have worked at the CDC, or, you know, our friends down here in Atlanta. And finally, we know this very important fact, which is above all the facts I've already read. Yeshua said to them in Matthew 24, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Messiah, and they will lead many astray." This is not just theology, folks. This could be anything that just tears your life apart and destroys you. Many Christian and Messianic pastors already recognize that Yeshua is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Messiah, but yet they're pushing this on their congregants, making them feel guilty. There's even Messianic groups doing this. This is not a church thing. This is a stupidity thing. I'm sorry. I'm not saying it's stupidity if you chose to do it. It's stupidity that you would push this on people and make them feel guilty for not doing it. Let them do their own research and make their own decision. It gets me angry because this is, you know, affecting people's lives. Many from the group the Bible calls the elect have been deceived already. We're not talking about people who aren't in the walk. You know, they're not even there yet. The people who are elect, they're supposed to be aware of these things. They should have listened to what Yeshua said. They're being deceived. But we have one last hiccup that prevents a lot of Christians and Messianics from believing this is the mark of the beast. And they claim in the book of Revelation, and although it is there in English, they claim that we must worship the beast in order for it to really be something that's a salvation issue. And in English, they're correct. And we don't really know what it says in the original Hebrew, even though scholars have said the book of Revelation was written in Hebrew. So let's just look at the Greek in the context. To worship something is to lay hold of something in allegiance. It's to give honor to in a respect that, you know, at this point in time, I'm worshiping you. It does not mean that you make them your God. It doesn't mean that you have replaced God. It just means you're giving respect to something and giving allegiance to something. And God really says that you're only supposed to do that to me. See, a lot of people will claim, well, I have to do this, but I still love God. They're not saying, well, I'm, you know, giving up on God. They want both. They want to cover their fear of man, and they want to just be in with the Almighty for the eternity part of it. See, when you refuse to trust God and you refuse to keep your body, the temple, clean as a set-apart believer, when you refuse to believe God's promises given to us in His Word, you are in effect worshiping something other than God. Worshiping does not always mean bowing down to as your supreme being. It's giving reverence to something we shouldn't give reverence to. Most people take it out of fear. They'll lose their job, fear they won't be able to live a life as normal, all the things we all discussed when I asked you the question. You know, nobody doesn't want to, you know, buy food and be able to go see relatives. Nobody doesn't want that. We all want that. But when it comes down to it, is it going to be our choice when it's that or God's way? You know, we just finished Hanukkah. Where would we be had the Maccabees said, oh, well, it's just a pork. It's just pork. Why bother? Let's just have a pork sandwich and be done with this. After all, he said he was going to honor you, Dad, and we would be very wealthy and be in high esteem with the king. See, the temptations are all throughout. The same temptations that were given to our Messiah in the desert. It's the same stuff. What's our temptation going to look like? You know, just get the vaccine, guys. Get the vaccine. And guess what? I'll give you a promotion because you're a great worker. We don't want to lose you. Yes. We'll give you a promotion. We'll give you a raise. Give you a little extra vacation time. We'll send you on a vacation. Tell you what, we'll pick a spot. All those unvaxxed can't go, like Hawaii. Am I condemning the people who have made that decision? No. One more time, no. We've all been guilty at one time or another, caving in on things we know we shouldn't have done. And you know, with God, sin is sin. Mistake is mistake. He doesn't grade them differently. They may have different consequences here, but all of them separate us from the Almighty. You go through your life living a very good life of keeping the commandments, but you're a habitual liar and a habitual cheater. Guess what? Not part of the kingdom. Sorry. How many of you are resolved in your mind not to take the vaccine today or ever, and you're resolved in your mind not to ever take a booster shot? A lot of you? Okay, that's good. That's all of you. Good. That's easy. Standing here facing me, I have no shots in my hands. And I don't have a gun. And I don't have the threat of prison. And I don't have the threat of separating you from your loved one. You better get mentally prepared today for what may or may not happen tomorrow. We need to be strong. Now is the time for lions to wake up. It's time for us to wake up and realize that we were called for a time where most of the world's not going to be able to handle it. See, and you know, when Esther was called to go before the king, when Mordecai kind of presented it to her, and she realized, I might die if I do that. And he says, look, who knows if you weren't called for such a time as this? Well, I'm going to suggest to you that every human being that has ever walked that knows God is called for the time that they were placed in. And he chose every one of you from the beginning, before you were born. And he says, ah, Claudia, Francis, Myra, I know where you're going to be when the times come down. I've got a calling for you. I've got a place that I need you to be, because there's going to be people you can help, people you can reach, people you can give good news to and the hope of salvation, people that you can actually give them the news. You know, there's a lot of people out there that don't know anything about this vaccine. They know nothing about it. The doctor said to take it. You know, the lady on Facebook, I'm not trying to be mean to her. She's totally just clueless. She doesn't know about it. Just, my doctor said to do it. I don't argue. But you know what? They won't listen to me. But someone might listen to Andrea if Andrea's got a relationship, or Heather, or John Michael. Maybe Ricky has somebody that he's working with that has earned the trust, and he can share something with them. See, you can't do that if you're sleeping. You got to be awake. Because an awakened lion is a force to be reckoned with.
Yes.
You know, when the devil comes around like a roaring lion, you know, if we're talking about this, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, I think it is, 7 or 8. It's one of the four verses we're memorizing. When he comes around, what is he going to do when he meets a lion that's bigger than him? Okay, we're supposed to be that. Yeah, we know our Messiah is bigger than him, but you know, we could be too. We should terrify him more than he terrifies us. That's all I'm saying about that. When was the last time the devil looked at you and was terrified? If it has been a long, long time or never, it's time to do something about it. And you do something about it by getting on your face, getting on your knees, spending time in the Word and saying, this is go time. This is time for us to wake up and do something. If you think this is going to go on another 10 or 20 years that we could just be in slumber, forget it. This is the first time the entire world, not the entire known world at that time, the entire world is in lockstep with the forces of evil. Yeah. And it's time we stand up and do something about it, at least in our own little corners of the world where God has placed us. Amen?
Yes.
Let's close in prayer. Father, we come before you. We thank you so much for this Shabbat. We thank you each and every week that we can gather together. There are believers all over the world, not just in a few countries, in many countries where they cannot gather freely. They cannot gather in public. They have to do it in hiding. They'll risk their lives to gather together. They'll do it in dungeons, in basements. They'll do it any place they can, because the calling together of the saints is so important to them. Yet we treat it as if it's an inconvenience when conditions aren't perfect, or it's an inconvenience if, you know, little things aren't going our way. Father, I pray that we would have a conviction of the heart to make coming to meet with you a high priority in our life. Not just here on Shabbats, but also at home each and every day. Father, may we come to the understanding that we will never get through whatever's coming unless we get tough spiritually today. I pray that everybody would awaken that is not awakened as of yet. I pray they would learn to lean on one another, encourage one another, strengthen one another for the times that are coming. May we be strong and courageous, just like you commanded Joshua, because I believe we're going to need it, Father. We come before you humbly, and we give you thanks that you've called us into your kingdom. We give you thanks that you've made a way for us to partake of eternity with you, something we can't even imagine. We give you thanks and praise for allowing your Son to come and pay the price for what we should have had to pay, Father. It's hard to fathom that you love us that much, Father. The least we can do is show you the honor and the respect as our King and our Heavenly Father. We give you thanks. We give you praise. Yivarekha Yehovah v'ishmerekha. Yair Yehovah panavalecha vihunecha. Yisa Yehovah panavalecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and bring you his peace. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen and amen. So we get our four viewers.